All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am speaking with Ms. Sarah Carney and Ms. Danielle Harris, and they're talking with us about a very, very versatile profession, the communication specialist career. And share with us again, as we get ready to look more at how broad this field is, again, Sarah, your specific title, and then Danielle, your specific title.
Yeah, so I'm the communication specialist at the College of Nursing at Augusta University.
Okay. Danielle?
Yeah, and I'm the Senior Media and Communications Coordinator in Augusta University's Division of Communications and Marketing.
And so what would those titles fall under? Is there one umbrella category?
I like to use the term communications professional. I think that covers a lot of titles from communications specialist, communications coordinator, communications manager. I don't know. Danielle, what do you think?
I would agree with you, Sarah. I think that's how I would label it.
Okay. All right. And so we're finding out just from what you shared with us already, you plural, that this is about communicating, communication specialist. It's about marketing. It's about media. So share with us more about what this communication specialist program profession is about, what it really entails.
Yeah, so it's really diverse. It can encompass writing, graphic design, video, photography, the communications umbrella, you know, is so broad. I started off as a writer, really only doing writing. And then through this career, I've been able to branch out and pretty much, you know, get my hand in a lot of different things on social media. So, you know, there's really no limit. You know, if you do want to do something like only writing, there's probably a job out there for you to just do writing. But if you, you know, you're kind of like me and you like to do a little bit of everything and learn as much as you can, there's plenty of jobs out there for you too.
Okay. And so you're looking at that, you mentioned, wow, graphics, media. So if a person really, really, really loves technology and they love communicating, that merger is already in place.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I've known people, you know, even who've done like web communications, they can do web design and then also do writing for the web. It really kind of depends on where you're at and what your organization's needs are. But there's, you know, so much opportunity to do all sorts of different stuff. And it all falls under the communications umbrella. You know, as long as you're, you know, communicating with someone, it's communications, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's, you know, internal and email, you know, to the people in your organization, or, you know, external, something like a press release, mm-hmm. or going, you know, on TV to talk about some initiative. So it's really, you know, runs the gamut.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
So you agree, Danielle?
Oh, yeah, totally. And because everything now is pretty much gone to every form of communications, like every career field has some form of communication tied to it. So just like Sarah and I, you might not have necessarily gone into medicine as originally planned, but we're still connected to it, but through telling stories and other aspects of communication. So there's so many ways that you can still be connected to maybe your initial passion, but just tell it, you know, be a part of it from a different perspective. And I feel every career needs, those professionals need to know how to communicate. So even if you don't want to go in the communications field, I feel like this is still a good skill mm-hmm. to have. Yeah.
And you're both, we're talking about medicine for the most part right now, but what about other areas like politics, business, so many other different fields, communications, professions, relevant, and maybe even critical in those other areas?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say, you know, if you can think of it, there's probably a communications professional who's helping along with
it. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. You know, nonprofits, for sure, government agencies, and, you know, you think about like emergencies, there are public information officers, a lot of them are called, who are communications professionals who will, you know, help disseminate that information. And I mean, pretty much, you know, and most companies have some, you know, public relations communications division. So, you know, whatever kind of field you like, there's some communications aspect out there.
And just to piggyback off that, when you look at politicians, there's there are folks called crisis managers.
Yes.
And they help, maintain the reputation of the politician. And then also there's media relations training to help politicians talk to the media. So, I mean, there's so many different aspects of communications that pop up in every field.
That is so interesting. You mentioned that we have people who are communications professionals on one level or another who are actually training the politicians how to communicate with us.
Mm-hmm, exactly. That's right.
So what are some of the tricks of the trade? Maybe I shouldn't use that phrase. What are some of the things that they would teach politicians when it comes to politicians effectively communicating to whoever it is they're trying to get their point across to?
Well, I haven't done as much, work in terms of politics. I don't know if there's much specifically I can say about that, but I will say, there's plenty of stuff that translates across disciplines. One thing is just, learning to be comfortable about what you know. I always tell my faculty in the College of Nursing that, they should, feel like they own, what they're an expert in, and, know what they can talk about in relation to that. And I never inhibit them. When I go on an interview with them, I let them speak confidently, and I'm just really there as kind of some extra security. But it's really easy sometimes to kind of go off on a tangent, that's totally in left field, and we really want to showcase what they're an expert in.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we'll talk about that and kind of do a little brief before an interview about that, and there's kind of little things too that people forget about. If they're going to be on camera, I try to make sure they're not like wearing stripes because it makes it look funny on the TV.
Interesting.
Big loud jewelry, things like that. Don't be chewing gum, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And it's little things that you just don't think about if you're not in that field and you don't do it as often. So that's kind of one of the ways that we can prepare people.
Gotcha.
And to add to that, some of the stuff I have to do is I have to train a lot of the physicians and folks on how to do these media interviews. But when it comes to politicians, one of the big things for them would be to just know your audience. Know how to connect what you're trying to say to that particular audience. So, talking to kids will be completely different than talking to a room full of CEOs. It's like you have to know how to take what you're trying to deliver and communicate it effectively to the audience. So with politicians, they have to know that skill. If not, their message will fall flat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask each of you to do this. We all get an opportunity to watch TV, and so we get an opportunity to see quite a few communications opportunities. Share with us a case of somebody conveying something to the public, and they really did a great job. And then in contrast, somebody communicating to the public, and they really blew it.
Yeah, so I do a lot of science communications, and that's kind of my background. So I think of a lot of science communicators who've done a really great job. I completely love Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Okay.
I think he's a great example of doing something well. And, if you kind of look, he's been on different programs, and kind of like what Danielle was saying, he changes his message a little bit. Whenever you see him on the Disney Channel, talking to kids, he sounds a little different than, like on his new show that's more tailored to adults. So I think that's a really great example. And I don't have, any one person in particular to contrast with that, but I have seen scientists before who, they get in front of the camera and they want to talk like they would talk at a conference presentation.
Mm, yeah.
And they're using these words that, who knows what they mean. And so I think I, contrast it there is not changing that tone and changing that language mm-hmm. to suit the audience.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Danielle?
Okay, so let's see. Oh, gosh. I wish I kind of, you have so many little things popping up in your head. Let's see. I would say Sarah's point was great. Okay, so I'm a speech junkie.
Okay.
So I'm going to really be a nerd right now. Okay. So Governor Maria Cuomo, his speech at the 1984 presidential convention, you can tell I'm a nerd, right? I love how he connected with, I mean, every demographic. It was just perfect. And if anyone wants to nerd out with me, it's on YouTube. But I feel like he was one of the few politicians that got it right, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on. I just love that speech, and we studied that speech. And see, someone who didn't get it right, I don't know. I would say probably all of us. There are moments we don't ever get it right. So I'm going to say all of us. But I can't think of anyone in particular, but I love him as far as he got it right.
And you mentioned that one of the things he did successfully was he was able to connect with every demographic, which is not necessarily an easy thing to do.
No, it's not. No, no. And because you, in order to effectively communicate, whether it's on social media, like even social media pages in our office, we have one for our hospital, children's hospital, university, every one of those pages has a different audience. Mm-hmm. And how we write on those different pages varies because we have to effectively communicate with the audience. So it's just amazing how communication, how powerful it really is.
Let's listen to a little bit of Mario Cuomo in 1989, just as we go to break.
or 1984.
84?
Was it? Oh, gosh. Did I get it wrong? 80.
There was an 84.
It doesn't matter.
And there was an 84. You prefer 84?
Okay. I love the 84 one, but that's just me. Because that's the year I was born.
That's a special year. We're going to go with
84 there we go.
Then. Here we go.
New York Governor Mario Cuomo featured The Tale of Two Cities.
10 days ago, President Reagan admitted that although some people in this country seem to be doing well nowadays, others were unhappy, even worried about themselves, their families, and their futures. The president said that he didn't understand that fear. He said, "Why, this country is a shining city on a hill." And the president is right. In many ways, we are a shining city on a hill. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. A shining city is perhaps all the president sees from the portico of the White House and the veranda of his ranch, where everyone seems to be doing well. But there's another city. There's another part to the shining city. The part where some people can't pay their mortgages, and most young people can't afford one. Where students can't afford the education they need, and middle-class parents watch the dreams they hold for their children evaporate. In this part of the city, there are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Almost sounds like he could be talking to us right now. We'll be right back.